We're continuing with the Drashot Aran on page Resh Nun Beis in the Musad Rav Kook edition. What page is it by you?
Kuf
Yud Aleph in the Machon Shalem edition. V'amru Od. And our sages said further on the Pasukin Kohelet Balei Asufot Elu Tamdei Chachmim Sheyoshvin Asufot Asufot Ve'oskin BaTorah. This is a reference to the sages who sit in groups and deal in Torah. Halalu Mitamin V'halalu Mitarin. You have this group of rabbis. They say it's pure. This group says it's defiled. Halalu posadin v'halalu machshirin. These say it's kosher, and they say it's not. Halalu osirin v'halalu matirin. These say it's prohibited, and they say it's permissible. Shema tomar, maybe you'll say, hoil v'halalu mitamin v'halalu matirin, hech ani lomed Torah me'ata. How I learn Torah now if everyone's saying something else? How do I know what's right? How can I learn two conflicting opinions? And how can I spend my time on this? One is telling me the truth and one's a liar. One got it right and one got it wrong. Says the Gemara, Talmud Lomar, Nitenu Meroe Echad. This is one of the fantastic speeches that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah gave that day. He said, this is what the Torah is telling us, that it was all given from one shepherd, Kulam Panas Echad Amaran, Mipiadon Kol HaMaasim Baruch Hu. This is all still a quote from the Gemara. All of these opinions, those who say mutar and those who say asur, those who say tameh and those who say tahor, all of these opinions were given from one philanthropist, one parnas. He gave it all from the master of all actions, blessed be he. Shneimar, as the verse says, Vaydeber Elokim kol dvarim eile lemor. What does it say? Et kol advarim eile darshu milat kol lomar sheafilu davar divrei mi shelo esig haemet. So the Ran tells us, Hashem taught Moshe all these words to incorporate even those who don't get the truth. Okay, so he just said a powerful word. Divrei mi shelo hisig ha'emet. And as is usually the case when you learn Rishonim, you got to look at every word. They don't tell you, they don't have bold print in the Rishonim. Now, that's already the Ran. This explanation, you understand that this Gemara, in Chagiga is the focus of much commentary, much discussion. The Maharal has a whole section just on this in Be'er HaGolah, in the beginning of his fantastic work, probably the first work you should learn in Maharal, Be'er HaGolah, as do others. You have to remember when you learn Rishonim, you don't have the picture till you see the whole picture. And even then you don't necessarily have the picture. Learn it 10 times, learn the rest of Shas and the rest of what they wrote, and then you start having a picture. The rule in Torah is that the words of Torah are impoverished in one area and wealthy in another area. Meaning, when you want to learn a concept, you can't do research on Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chaim just by looking at this. It doesn't work that way. Any subject in Torah has so many applications that there's no way to master it till you master all of Torah. If someone writes a work just on one subject in Torah, he doesn't know that subject. If he learned the whole Torah and then wrote on that subject, then he can know that subject. Davni Nezer, the Hasidic Rebbe of Sachetshev, wrote fantastic responsa. When he was 19 years old, the people of Sachetshev came to him and said, "We want you to be rabbi of Sachetshev." He said, "I haven't yet learned Taharos." So the whole community got together, wrote a document. We signed that we will not ask you any questions in Taharos. We won't ask you any questions in that. He said, "No, if I didn't learn Taharos, I don't know the rest of Shas well enough." Because it's all intertwined, the Avnei Nezer, the Rebbe of Sachetshev. And that's the way learning goes. So this is definitely so in every aspect of Torah, and all the more so now that we're learning a speech of the Ran, we have to at least let him finish his thought, and I'm not sure we're going to succeed in doing that today. So we can't draw any conclusions. Very often, he presents an understanding in the Gemara, which he's really setting up what they call scarecrow. He's setting up something which he's going to knock down. He's setting us up and he's saying, okay, this is the possible understanding, and now let's walk through it and see. No, that wasn't the accurate understanding.
So he did this drash, even though he didn't show Yelavet. You're saying that is
the same? I'm saying let's wait and see. Let's not be quick to jump to conclusions. Let's note that.
Think of it as being a statement.
Oh, so fine. But I'm saying very often Rashi does that throughout the Shas. Rashi sets you up with the Hava Amina, so that you will later on understand why the Gemara knocked it down. He gives you an incorrect, he gives you a correct understanding in the Gemara's original understanding, which the Gemara later says, not that that wasn't the correct understanding. So the Ran also does that sometimes. So we're going to have to follow and remember this line, and then ask ourselves as we go through, okay, is he sticking to what he said here or not? So the Ran continues and says, so this concept deserves delving into. How could we say that the two arguing, the two opposing groups, were both taught to Moshe from God? We have Shammai and Hillel, they argued on 4 points in all of Shas. Shammai and Hillel only argued on 4 things. So these three of them are listed in the beginning of Eduyot, tractate Eduyot. It says, Shammai omer mikav chalav, Hillel omer mikavayim. Shammai says, if you make dough the volume of a kav, you must remove challah. Hillel says, no, you're not obligated to remove challah for the kohen unless you've made double that volume. Well, one of them is right. One of them is telling the truth. The other one got it wrong. So what are you going to tell me? God said a lie? You can't say that. It's funny because in this case we don't rule like either one of them. Allah is like a third opinion. But the concept works as follows. We already know, it's well known, that God gave Moshe the written Torah and the oral Torah. As the Talmud tells us in Megillah, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said in the name Rabbi Yochanan, what does the verse mean when it says in Devarim, on top of the Torah, God gave him all these things? What are all these things? It's teaching us that Hashem showed Moshe all the different aspects of Torah, what we call Diktukei Torah, Diktukei Sofrim, and what future Sofrim, Sofrim is a term for rabbis. The rabbis in the days of Ezra, in the days of the beginning of the Second Temple, were called Sofrim. They kept counting things. They kept boiling things down to numbers. There are 39 Avos Malachos. There are 4 Avos Nezikim. They kept putting things in numbers. So that's why the rabbis of that day were called Sofrim. Umasha Sofrim Atidim Chadesh. And that which the rabbis of later generations would still enact, new enactments. Umayninu, what's that referring to? Mikra Megillah. The institution of reading the Megillah. Okay, so that's the quote. So you see from the Talmud that Moshe was taught everything. God showed him everything. Whatever that means. That deserves a series on its own. We didn't do that here, but we did do that in Katamon. There's the beginning of this year, but I don't know under what title that is. I think it's under Special Classes Hebrew, Intro to Talmud. We had about 5-6 class series, Intro to Talmud, and there we explored, it's on the website, on torahforme.org, and there we explored the... the different understandings as to how this exactly works, that Moshe saw all the things in the future. Where we learned Masor Vitri, Tosus Yom Tov, learned a few different commentaries on how we're to understand this. But now we're learning the Ran. So the Ran says, Dikdukei Sofrim, when it says Moshe Rabbeinu saw Dikdukei Sofrim, Hema Machlokot V'chiluk Asvarot Shebin Chachmei Yisrael. That's a reference to the disputations, the differing understandings that the sages had. Ve'kulam namda Moshe mipi agvora. And Moshe learned all of them from God below hachra'a. And God didn't tell him a bottom line. Kol machloket u'machloket b'frat. God showed him the two sides of every argument. Aval masar lo klal ashobo yivada emet. But God gave him the rule. How do you find the truth? How do you define the truth? And this is where it becomes difficult, because the Ran repeatedly uses the term truth. And we're going to have to come back to this term. And that is the rule, go by the majority opinion. And the difficulty that we have to bear in mind is that in the period of the first temple, the Rabbim voted that Nisuch HaMayim has to be done one way. And in the Nisuch HaYayin, and in the period of the second temple, the rabbis overturned that ruling. Now, what are you going to say? Now that the bottom line was with the rabbis of the second temple, so then throughout the period of the first temple, they did it wrong? Their nisach hayayin wasn't kosher? Obviously, you're not saying that. Obviously, each generation has to go with their majority. So to understand the Ran, that the word truth means that the other one's a liar, I think would be inaccurate. I don't think that's what the Ran means to say. Although he uses the word truth, but a truth that changes. What are you going to say? When the court rules this way, that's the truth. When the court rules that way, that's the truth. I would say yes. I would say that Hashem gave us a living Torah that's connected to the living leaders of the people of Israel. We have to parenthetically add a very important point, and that is that if you wanted to be one of these people who give a vote as to what the halacha should be, you had to learn all of the tradition, all of the Torah, be a master of tradition, and then be very, very impartial in your understanding of the applications of the drashos, and then cast your vote. It wasn't a question, well, I think women's lib should be on the rise, so let me vote this way. That has nothing to do with what you'd like to see the halacha say. The halacha is about what the tradition is, what the understanding of the application of the laws of derivation. And a person really had to sterilize his thought process. A person had to distill and ensure that his thoughts were pure and logical. And at the end of the day, God says, okay, after you've done all of that, there's still the human factor. And some of you are going to think this is more logical, and some of you are going to think that's more logical. And of course, it's superfluous to say that everyone heard everyone else. You weren't sitting in your own Beis Medrash learning. You had a vibrant discussion where each side tried to persuade the other side. But at the end of the day, Hashem says, there is more than one valid opinion and there's more than one valid outcome as to what my Torah is going to say. And now I leave it up to you to decide what it should be. Vehu, and that is the rule, acharei rabim natot. Go after the majority opinion. Vechen lo tasu min hadavar sheyagidu lecha. And so too, we have the rule that we may not sway from what the high court teaches us. Ukshirabu amachlokot ben hachachamim. And then when we reached a generation after Shammai and Hillel, and the generation of their disciples, when there were many more disagreements among the sages, Im haya yachid etzel rabim yukovim halacha kedivrei rabim. So then they said that we're applying a different formula. If it's a minority opinion against the majority opinion, if it's an individual against the masses, the halacha is like the rabim, like the majority opinion against an individual. But if you have masses against masses, or an individual against an individual, then the sages of that generation have to call the shot. Because God gave them the responsibility to rule. The verse says, go to the leaders of that generation. And the Torah says, don't sway from their instructions. So you see, they were given capacity to give ruling. Now, this is a phenomenal chiddush what he's saying now, because what? And he's also applying it to every generation. The simple understanding is that this is talking about the generations that have a Sanhedrin. And he's saying that the wise men of each generation. And even though their predecessors might have been bigger and greater in numbers, and we have a responsibility to go with the way they define the law, whether they're right or not.
You were trying to define Emet not being completely black and white. You're bringing it down very black and white.
I agree. So we need to work on this. We're out of time,
right.
But I agree that the way he's wording it now definitely seems to say there is one emet.
And we have to follow the non-emet, even if it's not.
Right. That's the simple reading of what we've read until now. Now we have to pause, but let's pause and give it some thought, and then we'll analyze it again. Because I think that there's a lot to say.
Is it similar to what the Rambam was saying? The Rambam we looked at when He says, although that the students of, you know, the Chom Vedo weren't as great as them, we're still obligated to follow them. And it could be they were still obligated to follow them, because that's how Hashem wanted us to learn the Torah.
Right. If Hashem says, my formula is you go with the rabbis of your generation, then Hashem isn't telling us you have to go with the... There's some absolute understanding you have to align yourself with. There's some absolute truth. No. That's... Right. That's what it seems to say here. But in the Rambam we could say that there is no absolute truth. That the Torah is flexible in that sense. What they say in this generation is truth for that generation, and the other generation might be true for them. What the Ran is saying, so there are multiple ways in which we could understand it. But you're right, the words at first glance seem to say there is a truth. There is one way which is true, and whether they say that or not, you go with it. So the key to understanding this Ran is the Medrash of Chazal, Afidu Omrim Lechal Yamin Shu Smol, Smol Shu Yamin, which needs a lot of development, and the whole concept of Zaken Mamre, and the whole story of Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkanos, where we really need to expand on this, but that's where I'm going to be adding my own two cents. But I wanted first to see what the Ran says. So we're left with a question. I'll just give you room for thought. Meaning, the Ran, it seems, is referring to the story of Tanuo Shel Achnai, where Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanos ruled one way, and all the rabbis ruled against him. And a heavenly voice came out and said, he's right. And there were a million signs that indicated that he was right. And yet the rabbi said, we don't think so. We're doing what we say. So what does that mean, we're doing what we say? But God said no. Ah, nitzchuni banai. They got it right. They did the right thing. Ultimately, God says, okay, you guys won. What does that mean, you guys won? But God said, Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanos is right. Whose Torah is this anyway? So they say, lo b'shamayni, but you told us to use these tools to decide. Ah, so wait a second. So then why is God telling them, but you're wrong? So I'm saying, I think that we have to see this Ran with that backdrop, with the story of Tanuo Shel Achnai, with that in mind, we have to reread the Ran. And again, with the Medrash of Afilu Omrim Lecha Al Yamin Shu Smol, even if they tell you your right hand is your left hand. What does that mean? But I know they're wrong. The Zaken Mamre also knows they're wrong. And the Ran is saying, yeah, maybe sometimes God's going to tell you they're wrong. And even so, you got to listen to them. So I think against that backdrop, we can start rereading the Ran.
But you can still say that. So you're trying to bring back the MF to be more flexible.
I'm saying we have to reread it. We have to go word by word and see sentence by sentence. Okay, so what does the Ran mean here, and what does the Ran mean here? So I think first we have to pose some of the questions. The story of Tanuo Shel Achnai, the story of the Medrash on Yamin Usmol, and then the story of Mishnah in Etuyos, Akavya ben Ma'alalel, where all the rabbis disagreed with him and he didn't give up his position. I'm saying those are three things we have to look at, and then we have to start rereading the Ran.
You said we should assume that the Ran is factoring all these things and making it like...
Sure. Sure.
But can we change what the Ran seems to be saying from this back?
Let's reread it. I'm not saying quite the contrary. If I wanted to change what he was saying, I would not look at the text. I'd give you a long speech and avoid the text. And I don't want to do that. I'm saying, let's reread the text and see what we're supposed to understand in the text.